Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. This is an experiment. Most people listening to this show live busy lives. So much goes on that it is difficult to stay on top of what is going on at the various councils within Northumberland. On today's show, you are going to hear the actual debate from the September 18th County Council meeting. It is straight out of the public meeting. You will hear an item raised by Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. It is at the heart of his concerns regarding the encampment on King Street. You will hear him ask questions, get answers, and the ensuing debate amongst the councillors. Then, you can decide what to think about the situation between the politicians and staff at the county and the mayor. I'm calling this feature In Their Words. No spin, no opinions, no one telling you what to think, just what was said. It is a chance you might not have otherwise to hear directly from your elected representatives. I hope you find it useful and informative.
Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you, Warden. Because there was no social service meeting this month and because of the interview that you yourself commenced on Friday, I've been inundated with questions and emails from the Coburg populace. And I guess if I could have a few moments to just ask you specifically some questions regarding that interview. In the interview, you mentioned that there has been a significant decline of people from the encampment over the past 18 months. And at the interview time, you didn't have any numbers or stats to back that up. I'm wondering, is there anyone today that can provide any stats as to the number of people that have been successfully relocated from the encampment? Are there any stats to the number of people that have used the community bed provided by Coburg Police? Is there any stats that can show us that there has been a significant reduction at the encampment?
I don't, but CIO, can you provide any information there?
We don't have staff here today because this was not on the agenda, so we don't have our outreach managers or our associate director present in council chambers, so they do have the most accurate information. I can say that as far as the Coburg Police bed, we don't have any data on. We're not part of that initiative. I do get updates. I don't have exact numbers, but we have seen a movement of individuals from the encampment into various services. Those services are wide ranging. They could be moving into the shelter. They could be moving into rehab. They could be moving to permanent housing. They could be moving back with family. So there is, the list can go on. So there's a number of individual situations. We have, yes, my reports from staff are that the numbers have gone down. As a round estimate, we're seeing probably a net, I think, Lisa, 15 to 20 net decrease about would be the high level estimate. Again, it would be the staff that could provide more details aren't present in council chambers.
Thank you. Could we be sure that that information comes forward to social services at the next committee?
Yes, we could. Have some of that with the understanding that some of it is rather fluid given the client population we're working with.
It's a bouncing ball. I get it. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. Warden, to you. In your interview, you stated that the folks living rough in Coburg, should they choose not to go to 310, then we actually don't have a plan for them because people don't have to receive help. So I just want to confirm that the plan currently for all of the encampment residents is 310, and that should individuals choose not to use 310, that we don't have any other plan to deal with that when they are forced off of Brookside.
I would suggest that the plan is now and has always been multi-pronged. Social services and outreach staff, from what I'm told, work with the clients who are living rough at the moment to find shelter for them in the best way that we can, be it at the current transition house, in the future at 310, with family members, moving them into treatment. If they're able to, moving them into housing and or emergency sheltering in other locations. So there is a multi-pronged approach, but quite right, we live in a free country, and if people refuse service or just don't want to be housed, we cannot force them to do so. CAO.
Just to, if I could follow up on the previous question, I did have a staff member who happened to be watching, was able to give me a bit of information on the fly. There's been 4 folks moved to shelter and 3 into housing in the last 2 weeks alone.
Good news. Thank you. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. Further to that interview, Warden, through you to you. You mentioned in the publicly available interview that the county, so this level of government, has applied for numerous exemptions on the application for the ECE license for 310 in Coburg. Wondering if you can comment to this council and to everyone watching, how many exemptions have we applied for, and what is this money we've paid for to get these exemptions?
I believe the number is 23. I don't know. I don't know the number. I didn't make the application, but it is there are a number of exemptions, as I said in the interview, because I don't know that number. The monies paid were per exemption, I believe. No? Okay, I'm going to turn the mic over to the CAO.
Through you, Warden, there has been the application fee and any fees associated with that, as well as the it was requested at the time that also the licensing fee be paid in advance, and all of those whatever was required under the terms of the bylaw, that fee for applications and licensing has been paid to the town,
including the fee for the license, which we do not yet have. Yes, thank you. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. So we've asked for a number of exemptions from the bylaw. Great. What's the plan should Coburg not allow for those exemptions?
I think the plan is to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Would it be fair to say then there is no plan?
I haven't heard one, CAO.
Through you, Warden, we are still awaiting a response from the town of Coburg on our application. So we do not yet know if some, all, or what combination of exemptions may be approved. So until we have that information, it's very difficult to develop a response or any action plan in the absence of Coburg responding to our request.
Thank you. Deputy Warden.
I just have a question of clarification in terms of the discussion about the multi-pronged approach. Something that just came to mind is, do we have a sense of what the wait list is for the community treatment bed that is currently covered by the Coburg Police Services, and also whether or not any of the funding that we had set aside at the budget at the end of last year for treatment has actually been actioned, if there in fact is a wait list for treatment for that community bed?
CAO.
Through you, Warden, as I mentioned earlier, anything to do with the community bed that's funded by the Coburg Police, we're not part of that initiative, so I don't have any data on that. That would be a question for the folks that organize and manage that program. For the county dollars, I don't know if Lisa has any detail. I know staff had been working with our community partners to develop an assessment and admission process, because that was not in place, because this is brand new work and a new system that we're having to develop to spend those dollars in conjunction with the private entities that provide the actual service. It certainly requires a bit of work in making sure that the folks that are being put into that system are most likely to be successful. So it's taken some time to establish that system that would need to happen. And I know staff have been working on that. Lisa can explain a little more, I think, on where we're at.
Director Horn.
Sure. Through you, Chair. The CEO is correct. I think one of the things that we've been looking at with the rehabilitation beds is what's the best way to integrate it into the system. We are not healthcare providers, so we are not in a position to be able to identify who would be most beneficial from that. So we've been working with some of our community partners through mental health and addictions to help us to do that linkages. I know staff have been working to try and finalize those connections with the actual organizations that would be potentially delivering that services. I think we've had conversations as well that some of the challenges and some of the reluctance in terms of taking on this role from the healthcare side is that we don't have all of the things in place that we need when somebody's exiting the system. So we have been looking at other ways to bring that together. It's quite clear though that we're going to be moving forward with this and it would likely be included in things that are coming forward in the fall.
Thank you, CAO.
And if I could just add to that, I actually sat in on a meeting. There is a coming out of the strategic planning for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, there is a mental health and addictions working group. We had our inaugural meeting yesterday, and during that conversation, there was some very positive information shared about the extent of resources that are actually available in Northumberland. And one of the challenges identified is making sure that folks in need are actually aware of what's available and what is there. And oftentimes, there's an assumption that there aren't resources, but we probably collectively need to do a better job of getting people in touch with those mental health and addiction services that are currently available today, just not widely known or understood how people can gain access to those. So I think there is other work that is also happening within the community to tie into some of the initiatives that we've already discussed.
Thank you. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. Just to follow up, Director Horn, you had said that one of the issues is we don't really have anything when they come out of treatment. What do you mean by that? Is that there's very little services in terms of like how someone who's just come off a heavy addiction can provide housing? Or I'm just trying to understand, what did you mean by that, for clarification?
Director?
Through you, Chair. One of the challenges when somebody has high acuity and is coming out of a situation where they've been through rehab, they will require a significant amount of supports to enable them to continue to be successful. So those are some of the things that we're identifying to try and bring together. Again, that's healthcare, those mental health and supports, even post-rehab, we generally find them within the healthcare sector, very specialized supports. We can certainly move forward with housing, if you will, but not the supportive housing that may be required for those individuals. So again, that's one of the challenges when they're coming out of a rehab situation.
Thank you, CAO.
Through you, Warden. Technology is great. Again, staff are keeping an eye on the conversation, and they've confirmed that we currently have two people in the beds that are funded through the county levy that was approved earlier this year.
Also good news. Thank you for that. Deputy Warden.
That's actually thrilling news, finally to see that progress. And I guess I was just a little puzzled because if we have a community bed that's already in place with the same provider, I'm just wondering whether or not some information could have been gathered about what their criteria or intake process has been for this kind of treatment. But to your point, CAO, I've always thought that we have a lack of that ecosystem mapping in the county around what are the coordinated care pathways that people would be able to be aware of. I remember in the early 90s when we were creating in London, Ontario, the first coordinated care model for women leaving abusive relationships, that it was exactly a pictorial mapping that was done so that people knew exactly what role all the providers played, how they communicated with each other, and what the pathways of care and help would be, so that there would be a really good sense of what already exists and what might be some of the gaps that we need to address in order for post-treatment to be successful for the folks that go through that system, as opposed to saying we don't want to put people through treatment because we don't have anything on the back end. It means that we're putting lives at risk by that kind of waiting. So maybe there's an opportunity for creating that pictorial ecosystem.
We'll just leave that one out there. Thank you for that. Councillor, go ahead, Director Horn.
Thank you, through you, Warden, Chair. I think the other thing I just really want to highlight is and assure Council that staff are and do have plans in place. I think what we're getting at is these are fluid situations, and we continue to respond to those situations. On a day-to-day basis, we are certainly responding as we can to the needs of the community and looking at innovative ways for partnerships and collaboration in regards to the closing or the wind down of the encampment. That is absolutely on the top of mind of staff at this time, and we've already begun to have those preliminary conversations. But again, we all need to understand it's a fluid situation because we don't have those fine timelines, but we are having those conversations with our colleagues, with our stakeholders, and with the clients that we're working with to make sure that they are aware of the opportunities that 310 offers, but also that if that is not their choice, that we're there to support them in whatever choice in whatever direction they would like to go. Again, always recognizing the legal and ethical realities of individuals. But again, we're looking to support those individuals and continue to offer that support as we can in building those relationships. And I think the fact that we've moved a lot of people on is an indicator that we are those this year long working with those folks is making a difference, and we are meeting those needs one person at a time.
Thank you, Director. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you. To you, Director Horn. Thank you for that, and thank you for the work you and your team continue to do on a day-to-day basis. I would like to offer an alternative opportunity to this council. Yes, we do have a decrease in the encampment numbers, but that's because they are dispersing amongst themselves throughout the town of Cobourg. Yes, we do have some individuals who have received service, but the majority of people no longer located at the encampment can be found in the subdivisions, they can be found in the other parks, they can be found along the CN railways. So again, I'd like to point out that until this level of government is ready to start talking about actual solutions for the people who continually refuse care despite it being in their best interest, we need to have a solution for the people that are unable to care for themselves, that continually make decisions that endanger their lives and the lives of the community with which they exist. And unfortunately, until this level of government is willing to have a conversation about what we're going to do, what's going to happen is that when this encampment is closed, these individuals will disperse themselves amongst the community. They will find them in the two or three houses in our community that have not been closed due to drug use. And Cobourg residents will be left dealing with the individuals that are technically the responsibility of this level of government. So again, I know I'm beating a dead horse. I know you're all tired of hearing me say this. But if we don't have a plan for when this encampment closes, which is what I'm hearing, then the plan will be to allow these people to disperse amongst the community of Cobourg, which is what is leading to a grassroots movement in Cobourg that no one on this council is going to like. And this isn't a movement that I'm leading. This is a movement being led by the people in Cobourg. So please, I'm not here trying to upset or annoy my fellow councillors. I am trying to communicate that if we don't come up with a solution, the solution that the people of Cobourg are going to come up with is one that is not a good choice. So a plan to not have a plan is a plan to fail. Thank you.
Thank you. I actually think we heard that there are plans in place and that we're working through those with willing clients. As the case may be, but we can't create a plan to institutionalize people. And you know that, we all know that. There's only one group that can institutionalize anyone, and that's the courts at the end of the day. So, or medical officers who can do that if there's that functional need. But I'm not sure what the plan would be, Councillor Cleveland, and if you have some ideas to share, I'm sure we'd all be willing to hear it, and certainly our social services team would be willing to hear it. Councillor Crate.
Thank you, Warden. You said exactly what I was going to say. I don't know what my counterpart is expecting of council. I mean, unless we have a room where we can gather all these people up and we can put them inside and put a lock on the door. So, I mean, we're offering as many services as we can to try to help these people out of the situation that they're in. If they refuse help, as you say, we have to have some, way through the courts to do it. But we don't have that solution.
Councillor Cleveland.
Well, since as I've been asked, it's a great opportunity for me to present a solution, one that's been brought up many, many, many times. Stop centralizing services in Coburg. That's the solution. It's real simple. Stop centralizing all social services in one community over 2,000 square kilometers. It's inappropriate, it's unfair, it's unequal, and that's the solution. The solution is also that this level of government could come to the aid of Coburg. We, as a group, could say that we're willing to accept that we are having a disproportionate effect on the community of Coburg. But as we've heard from your interview, Warden, you have no intention of ever putting money towards Coburg. Okay. So it's very clear that the solution is a simple one. Everyone along this table have a shelter in your community. Warden, you have a motion that's on the floor about entering a zero barrier shelter in Brighton, and yet when the interviewer asked about it, you denied that that's part of the motion. We don't need to get into a back and forth, but
no, we don't, because that's not part of the motion.
It's great that Brighton is finally understanding that they haven't been contributing enough to social services within the Northumberland County. So I'm glad to see your council accepting that. When are the six?
That's not part of the motion. That's not part of the motion that was passed by Brighton Council.
Well, as I said, I've spoken to many of your councillors and a lot of your residents, Warden, and they're happy to see a movement from Brighton to pick up their fair share. So I think I've been asked twice today, well, Councillor Cleveland, what's your solution? It's the same solution I've been saying for 2 years. Let's make this more fair and equitable. And let's, when, you know, the mayor from the largest municipality in the region comes here, let's stop calling him arrogant and ignorant. Let's stop saying he's a bully and he's aggressive. Let's stop accusing me about the way I'm communicating and start listening to the things that I'm saying from the residents of Coburg. This level of government is not servicing that group of people effectively or appropriately. And I cannot say that any other or a clearer way. So I appreciate the opportunity to say that once again.
Thank you. I don't think that's actually true. I believe this level of government is serving and servicing people in need in Coburg, in Port Hope, in Brighton, across the county of Northumberland. Spreading out that service would erode the ability to serve the people. Your solution sounds expensive to me at the end of the day, and I will point out that the Brighton motion was to work with county staff to find out what Brighton, the lower tier, could do to assist. We've received the information. The information right now is there's not much more that Brighton can do, so we have pivoted to endeavoring through land use planning policies to market and advertise for low-cost rentals so that those people who are working in marginalized jobs don't find themselves on the street. The best way forward for us, we feel, is to create additional dwelling units and market that and use the county's grant for that purpose if it remains available. Councillor Cleveland.
There you go. Wrap it up on this last statement, Warden. I think your statement clearly outlines exactly the problem here. You are more concerned about the costs because it's an expensive solution than actually doing the right thing. I wasn't going to mention this, but let's put it on the record. The reason I had to leave this county session today was because I had to go to my place of business in the town of Coburg and clean human feces off the ground of a store. Because someone decided to do that today in the middle of the day in Coburg. And that's after yesterday installing security locks on our public bathrooms, because I've had two 16-year-olds who've had to remove crack pipes from public bathrooms in a public establishment in Coburg. Warden, you don't know what you're talking about in this case. And until—
Watch yourself.
You don't know what you're talking about, Warden, and until your elected people, the people that choose to put you in a position of power, are actually attacked in the street during the day, until the people who vote for you are going through what the town of Coburg has had to go through.
Excuse me.
For the last 15 years,
no.
Warden.
No, because until you do not know what the rest of us are facing. In
I would agree.
If
I do think you're the only one in this situation.
Down.
You're wrong.
Well, Warden,
you
when
really
you
wrong.
Find the encampment at your doorstep, then we will get to the actual understanding.
The motion before me reads that County Council received the verbal update and discussion regarding social services delivery for information. Is there a mover? Councillor Martin, seconded by Councillor Crate. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion's carried.
That was a debate taken from the September 18th, 2024 Northumberland County Council public meeting. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.